Our first reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 1173 in our church Bibles. And I'll give you a moment to find that. Ephesians chapter 2. Made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, for which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading is from John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Found on page 1066 in the church Bibles. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This is the gospel of Christ.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your written word. May it be unto us a living word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to believe and receive you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to go back in time with me. We're going back 2,000 years. At the beginning of the gospel reading, chapter 3, a conversation was taking place between a man called Nicodemus, a Pharisee, who was a member of the Jewish religious and civil court called the Sanhedrin. And if the Pharisees can be compared to today's religious right, then the Sanhedrin, where Nicodemus was the moral majority. So we've gone back to 1,000 years, and Nicodemus comes to Jesus as night because he comes to seek light. He comes curious. The underlying unsaid question by Nicodemus is this: who is this Jesus? Who is this man doing all these things? And Jesus, in his discourse with Nicodemus, as we've just heard, leads us to the most popular verse for evangelism in the 31,102 verses in the Bible, John 3:16. I'm sure if I was to ask you, you know it. Do you want to say it to me? John 3:16. A scripture that we memorize, a scripture that we ought, that is known. We see it in T-shirt. For God so loved the world. We see it in billboards. We see it in buses. We see it in mugs. We see it in notebooks. We see it everywhere. But as one commentator says, the unfathomable depths of the love of God is found in this passage, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. But who is the world that is the subject of God's love? And who is the recipient of this love? Who are they that believe, that don't perish, but that shall receive eternal life? Who is this world? In the recent couple of weeks ago, Brits Award, we had social media posts and reports following all the awards that Ray won. Because she was speaking, there have been reports about her faith. In her words, she says this: I'm really grateful I have faith. It's honestly pulled me out of a really dark place. In her song, Hard Out Here, which I listened to, you know, I haven't actually heard her songs until Ray. Who is this Ray? I'm still stuck in my 20s music when I was that young. And this is what she says in this song: without the Lord, I'll take my life for all the times I've been a victim. Ooh, no weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. Her song then continues with expletives about drugs, her drug taking, and about her one-night stand. According to Pete Gregg, he says this of Ray: her honesty is about her Christian faith. She appears to be rediscovering who is this that God so loved the world has come for. When people look at Ray and hear how she has her lifestyle and all the things that she's doing, on Facebook, some said, is this what modern Christianity looks like? But we're all discovering this faith to believe and then be transformed by him. I watched an interview with the musician Stormzy, and it was full of expletives. I was like, Stormzy? And in it, he speaks of his faith, a faith that is so strong. And I had to put aside my moral thermometer so that I could watch it, so that I could receive what this man had to say about his faith. For God so loved the world, who is in this world? I recall my time in India when we visited and I served in the red light district area in Pune on a mission, and I was working with a lady called Dr. Ruth. She was being called by God to serve and love the temple prostitutes, making a safe place for the children of the prostitutes so that while their mothers were working, the children would not be in the same room while their mother was doing her work. So Dr. Ruth would take the children, and we made a place for these mothers, for these prostitutes to come. And they were welcomed with love. And we would play with their children and we would serve them. For God so loved the world that he gave. On Friday, I was watching Crime Stopper. And there was a good news story about charity called Kaleidoscope. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Kaleidoscope. And it's a major substance misuse service provider. And it was headed by a former Baptist minister. And he's taken over from his late father. And so they go on, the volunteers go on the streets in Wales, but they're actually all over the country. and they speak to drug addicts on the street. They help them. And for this particular one I was watching on Friday, the volunteer was actually a former drug addict himself, who said that when he had a drug overdose and he thought that was the end, he's been on drugs since a very, very young age, and he thought that was it. So he said, I prayed to a higher power. He said, I prayed that help me out of this. I can't continue this kind of life anymore. And he said that he recovered. His life was given back to him. And Kaleidoscope, this charity, were the one that helped him and rebuilt him. And he's been off drugs for 3 years now. And so he goes on the street helping people, hugging them, saying, how are you? To this drug addict on the floor. How are you? How are you doing? Hugging them. And he said that some people will shout out at you, why are you bothering with this low life? Why are you bothering with them? And this is what he said. Everyone is worth the try that they might be saved. And I thought, wow, they actually meet in a church, Red Brick Church. It's where they do their meetings and everything. He said, everyone is worth the trial that they might be saved. And as I watched this man, the passage, John 3:16, came to mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The all-inclusive scope of the love of God is indiscriminate and embraced in every man, woman, and child. God knew the state of the fallen world. He knew the darkness that was experienced in the world and in people's life. He saw and he did something. He gave what was most dear to him, his only Son. There's a young evangelist on social media, but she actually been on ministry with Christ for All Nations, Nia Cerise Conte. And Nia, by her own word, would say, I lived a terrible life. She lived a life of pleasure, idol worship. She got involved with witchcraft. She said she was even possessed. She said she told the devil, come and dwell in me. Because she was curious, she wanted, and she was possessed by him. And he dealt with her. She lived a life of such waste and pleasure, she said, until she had an encounter with the Holy Spirit in her kitchen that changed the trajectory of her life, because she came to know and receive the love of God for herself, for God so loved the world. And this is what God said to her. He said, "You, the devil has used you to do this and ruin lives. I'm going to use you 10 times more than he did. 10 times more. And she is now on fire for the things of God, for God so loved. He doesn't wait. He loves. And then we respond. This is what she said about a crusade in Tanzania that she went with Christ for All Nations. She said she recalls that a witch who was sent to come and disrupt the program and curse them came. And that witch confessed and also gave her life to Christ. This is what Nia said. God, look at what you have done. In the places that are overlooked, in the places that people don't want to go, your hand is on these places and you love these people so much. Thank you for sending us here, for God so loved the world. He gave. The temple prostitutes, the drug addicts. They may not feel worthy of God's love. Society may say they are not worthy because of what they do. And I dare to say even right now, maybe some of you are in here thinking the same. How can God love me? I've done this or I've done that. But this is a God who sees all. This is a God who doesn't wait for us to be perfect. This is a God who knew the darkness of this world and sent his Son. But then we then respond to his love. We respond to his life. God sees all, but his response is not to condemn us. He sees sin for what it is, the damaging and wounding force that causes so much misery and distress. And God's response to our sin is to look on us with great tenderness and compassion. And this is the truth 2,000 years ago that Nicodemus heard. The Son didn't come to condemn us, but to free us. The Son came to liberate us from all that makes us less than we really are. From everything that makes us less human, everything that makes us less loving, the Son came to give us life. In Ephesians, as Paul said, all of us stand before God from the same marking point. As Paul says to the Ephesians, all of us stand from that same place, and it's called this place of sin. All of us are in that place. But so Paul says to Ephesians, you were dead through the trespasses and sins which you once lived. All of us have followed the passions of our flesh. All of us have rejected and rebelled against the way of God. Yet, all of us are recipients of God's great love. Jesus speaks of a faith. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever in Greek includes the word all who believe and put their trust, rely on and cling to Jesus, who put their faith in Jesus, they receive eternal life. And the Greek word for this is called Zoe. It's about the quality of life received from Jesus. Zoe gives spiritual deliverance from the proper penalty of sin. In Christ, we receive life. And what is our response? Our response is to believe. Our response is to place our faith in Jesus. But as Paul rightly says to the Ephesians, but we receive this by faith. We receive this faith by grace, because it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing, says Paul. It is the gift of God. So our faith is a gift made possible through grace, unmerited favor, the grace that said, this is what you deserve, but this is what I'm going to give to you instead. Unmerited favor. So what is asked of you and of me is simply to receive what Jesus came to give to us. In the words of Martin Luther, he says this, the gospel summary of John 3:16 is 12 words. God loves, God gave, we believe, we have life. End of story. This is the gospel. This is the Bible truth from Genesis to Revelation. Nicodemus, that night, 2,000 years ago, he came to realize that God was not discriminatory in his love, and light came to Nicodemus. God loves, God gave, we believe, we have life, beginning of the story. As a church here at Midgate, our vision speaks of teaching people, letting them know about Jesus. For everyone that walks through those doors, by our words, by our actions, they come to read and hear, for God so loved the world. Not the world that's far away out there that nobody can see, but the world that comes through those doors that we see day by day. And each one of us plays our part in this, not just on Sunday, but our daily lives, for all the people that we meet, for God so loved the world. And where is that God? In us, for God so loved the world. And I am that channel that we're saying in prayer. I am that channel. I am the one to show that love, that God's love, because we are all they see. So on that late night, as Jesus and Nicodemus sat, and I believe they sat down, we get to eavesdrop in their conversation 2,000 years later. And what do we hear? We hear that God loves the world and gave the world his only son. We hear that he did not come just for the righteous. We hear this as we pierce through listening to this conversation. We hear that the gift that God gives is eternal life, a quality of life lived and enjoyed in its fullness right here and for eternity. As we draw closer, as we listen to this conversation, we hear that God did not send his son to condemn us. We draw closer to this conversation to hear them even more. What are you saying, Jesus? We hear the choice of believing and not believing. And we hear about the consequences of both. One gives life, one leads to death. And so we keep on listening. What is Jesus saying to me as I eavesdrop in this conversation? In the nighttime, the light of God's truth and love in Jesus shines brighter than any lamp that was in that room that day. For Nicodemus has come to hear the truth of God's love. And this lamp, this light shines here today on this Modern Sunday. It's proclaiming the same truth, for God so loved the world. And this is what I say as so, for God so loved you that he gave his only son, so that if you believe, you will have eternal life. So I come and I ask you to receive his love. Receive this love that he has given. And what is our response? He gave, and he's asking us to also give something back to him. We give him ourselves by believing in Jesus Christ. He gave, we also mutual give ourselves to him and be bound in his love for now and for eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave us his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. Whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. There's no other way. Amen.